Hello and welcome to the now I almost greeted you to the wrong pod. Welcome to the ScrapGovScrap.com podcast, where we talk about political subjects and generally avoid the stuff that we talk about on the other podcast. Your co-host is not here. Kano's not here, but you got me, David Ray. And I have Kano's notes, so he's here in spirit. Maybe. Well, not quite, because I'll do his show notes in justice. Anyway. It's quite, I can even get to them. Interesting. There we go. Yay! Let's see now. Yep. Wow. Oh, he wants me to do the disclaimer. I'll get that in a little bit. I got it. All right. So the first thing he has on the thing, and it's pretty important, is the immigration problems. You know, apparently Trump wants to build a wall. I don't know if he still does or not. I honestly try not to pay attention to these things because it's a repeat, you know, what they show us on the news is a repeat of what's been going on all along. And quite frankly, it's been repeating over and over again since I've been alive. It's all the same stuff, and everybody gets in an uproar over it. And, you know, the answer to the problem is basically for us to learn what's going on and stop letting it happen. But we're all confused, and we don't know what's going on, you know, so... Oh, well. So here's this immigration problem. And I know the majority of you won't like what I have to say about immigration. As far as I'm concerned, let it happen. It's not the problem. All right? Got a bunch of Mexicans up here working? Let them work. Got Mexicans up here drawing welfare? Well... You know, if we abolished the welfare state in the first place, there wouldn't be any draw. I mean, I don't know how it is right now in California, but when I left, people were moving to California just so they could get welfare, because California was very lax on the welfare system. You know. You could get on welfare just for saying I'm hungry or I'm poor or whatever. And you didn't necessarily have to be hungry or poor. You just had to not document your income, which means most Mexicans qualified for welfare because, you know, they were quote-unquote undocumented workers. So their income was not documented. So they had no documented income. Therefore, as far as the welfare system was concerned, they had no income. Well, shouldn't be giving handouts in the first place. All right, so, you know, building a wall? No, that's no answer. Kano points out, in his text here. Well, I'll just read it. Immigration problems. You know, these are just notes, so it's not complete. All right, immigration problems. Building a wall is not the answer. A wall would interfere with animal migration patterns. To fix the immigration problem is to fix the welfare problem. Quit giving them handouts, and they'll quit trying to come here illegally. Then, coming again is legal, and what is lawful? David Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's really not lawful for us to, en masse, say to one group, they can't come here. All right? You have every right to say, hey, don't walk through my garden. Don't walk through my fields. Stay to the edges, you know? And if it comes to it, you know, maybe a farmer and his neighbors get together and they stand as armed guards over their land and their neighbors' lands and deflect people for trespassing on them. You know, and word gets out that, you know, hey, you don't cross this guy's land or you might get shot. They'll go around. All right. And it might be that very same farmer might say, hey, you need a job? I'll hire you. Come here, harvest my beans. Come here, harvest my soybeans. Come here, harvest my corn. Give them a job. All right? Well, we, you know, Uncle Sam, I tell you, if I don't have a right to tell you who you know, all right. So, you know, you might argue that, well, then Mexicans are taking away jobs that we Americans need. Well, if you need them, you're closer. You're more likely to get them. You speak the language, you're more likely to get them. Well, it's higher than what the farmer can afford. Because you want your groceries cheap. So you're putting the farmer out of business. Now, I'm not against putting the farmer out of business. I'm against putting him out of business by forcing him to hire you when he can't afford to. Right. If your goal is to put the farmer out of business, the trick is to go out and grow your own garden. There you go. Grow your own garden. Then you don't need to go to the grocery store. The farmer doesn't have any place to sell his produce except maybe directly to you and his neighbors. Okay. And so you end up putting the big farmers out of business by doing that, which would also get rid of your quote-unquote immigration problem at the same time, because then all that's left is the factory work, which, again, if you want to put the factories out of business, produce your own damn stuff. You know, you can go out and raise some sheep, spin your own wool, make your own clothes. You might not want to do that. You might want the cheap labor from China and from Taiwan and then sit back and complain because there's no factory work over here because you're buying all your stuff from overseas. You know. And then making rules and regulations, standards and guidelines and such so that others can't make a profit here. So the immigration problem really isn't a problem. It's a symptom of your behavior. You created the problem. You created the problem by your own behavior. You don't want to make it yourself, and you don't want to pay money for it. So, You get immigrants. And quite frankly, there's nothing wrong with immigrants. Right? You might complain that, well, if we don't control immigration, then the terrorists will come in and attack us. Because they'll pretend to be immigrants. Well, let me ask you, what terrorists are these that would waste their time coming over here to attack us? Their time and their lives and whatever. You know, what motivated them to do that? Could it be your friend Uncle Sam went out there and stirred up some trouble? You know? I'm willing to bet you didn't. You're too lazy to get off your butt to go over there. But if you honestly think a problem over there that needs to be straightened by somebody other than the people living there, might I suggest to you that rather than sending Uncle Sam to do it, you get off your keister and go do it yourself? You know, ultimately, the immigration problem is you're too damn lazy to do your own stuff. By the way, I can guarantee that if you go over there by yourself to go take care of the problem, you'll probably end up in some foreign jail. You'll probably get tortured because, you know, that's what Americans do to them. So they'll figure, do it back. By the way, you go over there, do that on your own accord, they'll call you an illegal immigrant, and they'll solve their immigration problem by getting rid of you. They either toss you out or cut your head off or, you know, throw you in a jail. Don't believe me? Give it a try. If you believe me, why are you doing the same sinful crap to somebody else? At the very least, dang, I can't say it. It's on the tip of my tongue. You know? It's actually pretty easy to fix the immigration problem. Stop being lazy. Get off your keister. Go do the work. You might say there's no jobs. I'll tell you, there is always work. You might not get paid for it, but there is always work. There's always something that you can do that will help your circumstances, help your neighbor's circumstances, help your community, and who knows, they might even actually pay you for it after they see you volunteering to do it. You might think you're crazy, breaking your neck to get things done in the neighborhood that need to be done. When, you know, nobody's paying you for it. But, you know, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not pro the other side because I'm against some of the actions that Trump is taking. Yeah, I'm against his wall. You know, building a wall is a good way to keep people out. It's also a good way to keep people in. You know, I've got a friend. Used to be, less than a century ago, you could travel around as a national. And nobody'd give you a hard time for that. Didn't need a passport, per se, to move from one country to the next. Didn't seem to be much of an immigration problem when that was done. You know. I know that from time to time there will be a drought or a famine, and that's usually a result of war. And people will be trapped on one side or the other of a border, and they'll think that they can have a better livelihood by just crossing over. And, you know, sometimes they're right, you know. But people don't want to deal with that problem. They don't want to be neighborly. They don't want to be kind to their fellow man. And so they deny them their right to travel on the basis that, oh, they're going to come over here and do bad stuff. It's like, well, you know, isn't that kind of contrary to the philosophy of innocent until proven guilty? You're prejudging these people? You know? Wouldn't it be better to give them the benefit of the doubt? What a concept. Granted, we don't really allow that in the courtrooms. You know, you walk into the courtroom, you're guilty until proven innocent. Sometimes you're guilty even if proven is innocent. Because, you know, the judge gets paid better. Oh my, coaster here. Hello, Kano.
Hello, and welcome to the Scrap Go Scrap podcast, where we talk about the increase in the size, the cost, the extent of the reach, and the power of a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government.
Yeah, I was just talking about that.
Yeah, I had forgot about the podcast, and then I remembered, and then I looked at my phone, and then there you were, texting. I was like, yeah.
No, I wasn't texting you.
Texting. T-T-T-T-E-T-E-X-T. I-N-G. Anyhow, I'm going to have to pop out and pop back in if I don't lose signal anyway. Because I'm taking a truck to a well. And I'm not supposed to be on the phone on location.
That's fine. Just hang up whenever you have to. I've been stealing your notes.
Stealing my notes.
Thank you for saying those, by the way. That gives me talking points.
There you go.
When I've fully expended one and literally repeating myself for the fifth time, I move on.
You can go to the next note.
I go to the next note.
The North Node or the South Node? Just kidding.
Dang, I forget what the other word is.
Black.
Now, see, I've been...
Go ahead.
Discworld, day in and day out, and they repeat these terms over and over again. Spinword and Widdershins, and there's Hubword and Rimword. All right. So Hubword would be toward the middle of the disc, and lost it. Well, okay. He either hung up or drove out a signal. He'll call back when he can. But I might as well finish this. All right. So Hubword would be toward the middle of the disc of the flat Earth, and Rimward would be toward the edge of the Earth. So we have a friend who believes that the Earth is flat, and he has a map, and it looks very much like the map of the world provided by the United Nations. Printed on their flag, shows the North Pole at the center, and it shows the South Pole being stretched out as a disc, as the rim of the map. Okay. And he says that's their way of saying that that's how the world really is. And like, well, it's just a map. All right. The favorite map I've seen, my favorite map, and I can't find a copy of it. Somebody took the South Pole and drew the map so that Antarctica was whole and unstretched, relatively unstretched, all right? And then drew the rest of the world so that it was basically branches coming off of the South Pole, all right? And had... North and South America in the same branch going, and Russia and Europe pretty much in another branch, and Asia in a third branch. So they did split the Soviet Union, but not much, and done that, made the world look at it. Only had one of those, which was pretty neat. It showed Antarctica as basically the middle of the world, and there's actually reason to believe that that might be the case. Anyway, but that's a rabbit hole. Because of this friend who, and a few others who just absolutely believe in the flat Earth, and while I can't prove it's not flat, I don't believe that it is flat. I believe it's a globe. I remember back when I was in high school, back in this wonderful state of Missouri, which I didn't. Wonderful at the time, I thought of it as a state of misery, similar to the actual pronunciation of the state. As a matter of fact, there actually are some people who pronounce Missouri misery, and they don't mean it's miserable, it's just the way they pronounce it. Another rabbit hole. Anyway, Anyway, in this experiment, we got in contact with another school. This is all prearranged. And we did a simple experiment. What we did is we used a plumb bob to put a stake in the ground. And made sure the stake was, if I remember right, I don't remember for sure, but it was 3 foot tall. Maybe it was 4. I don't care. All right. Either one will work. As long as both places do the same thing and they make sure that their stake is pointing straight up and down. So, you know, the easiest way to do that is you plumb bob next to it and in two or three different directions. Make sure at least two of those are at right angles, you know, to each other. And, you know, we had a stake of a known height. And it was pointing straight up from the earth, all right? And we got in contact with the school. It was about 400 miles away in a different state, as a matter of fact. And we both measured where the sun was at noon. You know, relative angle, and whatever. Basically, what we did was we measured the length of the shadows in both locations and took into account the distance between the two schools. All right. Now, granted, we didn't get out and actually measure the physical difference. We kind of trusted the maps. All right. But if you want to do this officially, you know, your best bet would be to find a nice straight piece of highway and travel it for about 400 miles. Find some people there who are interested in doing this experiment. Exchange contact information. Let them drive to your location so they can verify the distance that you came up with, you know, and you do the same. Okay? And the straighter the freeway, the better. Because, you know, any bends and turns will actually shorten your distance a little bit compared to what you measure. All right? So, you know. Study your maps and determine which freeway is the straightest and go for it. All right, you can do it over shorter distances, but your accuracy will go down. All right. Measure the angle to the sun at the same time, preferably at true noon. All right, not noon by the clock. But when the sun is the closest to the zenith. Oh, I got a visitor. I'll be right back, folks.
Yeah.
Oh. Thank you. I won't eat that, though.
No. Not for you.
I appreciate it, and I will eat it. I'll bring the pan back tomorrow morning.
Do you know where John's 5 foot green stuff butter is?
No.
I think one of you guys might have used it and didn't put it back where it was.
I'll make a point of looking for it tomorrow. It's green and it's 5 foot. Hi.
That's pretty thick. Green, it was around behind the house where the air conditioner goes.
Okay.
What do you use it for? Air conditioner.
Because it's hot. And when I drive down the road, my hair was whipping in my eyes, so I took it off too. Okay. So I'll grow it back next fall.
He's right out here anyway.
Oh, okay. I'll make a point of looking for it tomorrow. He's welcome to look through here, but I'm doing a podcast right now.
I know you are, but
so
I'm gonna I'm going to interrupt you anyway.
Yeah.
So. Well, I'll make a point of looking around for it tomorrow.
Okay.
Yep, yep. Well, I just moved one of his ladders because it was in the herb garden.
Yeah.
So, and that's leaning up against the goose lights.
Okay. So. Sorry about it.
All righty. Little neighborhood trouble. It's pretty minor. Looking for a ladder. which our neighbor needs. But, you know, it's... If that's your greatest problem, you're doing pretty darn good.
So,
anyway... I lost track of where I was at. And apparently Kano hasn't called back, so yeah. All right. Anyway, things I was talking about. This fiction, it was written by Terry Pratchett. He passed away not too long ago. He had put in his last will and testament that all the notes for all the books he was writing that he hadn't published were to be destroyed. God, I hope somebody disobeyed his will and testament. But, hey, if that's what his wishes were, that was his wishes. Anyway, yeah, I've started reading that because, one, it's actually pretty interesting, pretty funny, and he brings up some things that, you know, you should be aware of. Yes, it's a fiction. Yes, it's silly. It's very silly. All right, that's fine. You can still learn stuff from silly stuff. Heck, how do you teach your kids things? Teach them silly little nursery rhymes. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. All right, you know. Next time, won't you sing with me? You know, it's silly, but it works. All right. So, whoop-de-doo, silly song, silly stories. Learn stuff. All right. You know, you don't have to believe the world is flat to have fun playing with the concept of a flat world. Okay. You know, and you don't have to berate your friends and neighbors who believe in the flat earth just because you believe it's round. I've got a friend that won't even discuss it, and he believes the world is flat. I mean, believes it's round. I'm sorry. He believes it's a globe. Thinks you're an idiot if you think it's flat. Well, you know, plenty of people thought you were idiots if you thought it was a globe. Which, by the way, means the concept was around when supposedly it was believed that the world was flat. Because how can you think somebody's an idiot for believing otherwise unless some other idea was floating around in the first place? So, you know. You tell me. Anyway. So my approach to that is I ask them questions. And, you know, if they think it's very important that I believe the world is flat, then I feel it's important enough for me to ask them questions. And I just ask them questions. I try to ask them questions. And if it's important to them, then they should be willing to answer those questions. Because, you know, if they answer the questions in a way that makes me believe, then they've succeeded in getting me to believe. And if their belief has flaws in it, then it's kind of important that they look over those flaws and figure out ways to explain them in terms of what they believe. And if they can't, then maybe they should change what they believe. But I have a friend, Bill. He says that he has a nice little phrase, a little poem he repeats over and over again. I can't really do justice, but I'll do my best to paraphrase it. He who is convinced against his will be of the same opinion still. Hey, I think I successfully said it. So, you know, forcing somebody to believe what you believe, not really helpful. So, give them a break. Give yourself a break. Don't shove it down their throats. You know, let them believe what they want to believe. You know, if they're willing, ask them questions, especially if you think it's important that they believe the earth is flat. You believe that they should believe that the world is flat, then you should be ready to present logical argument. Otherwise, let it be. So, anyway, so yeah, that's why one of the reasons why I'm paying attention to this story, Discworld. It's a whole series of stories. I think there's like 20 in the series, right? And so, you know, they talk about north and south, east and west. I'll throw at them spin word and Wittershins. Oh, by the way, most of my flat earth friends do not believe that the earth spins. They believe the sun rotates around the flat disk. Worse, they don't believe it even spins around the flat disk. They believe it spins around the axis running up through the center of the flat disk that's not moving. That the sun actually spins over our heads and never sets. Which, when they bring up that argument, and I try to ask them, well, you know, what's the angle to the sun at this time? You know, at sunset and stuff like that. And it's like, well, you know, they try to say it disappears by perspective, and I say, well, it's plainly going below the horizon. Even when I stand at the highest peak in the area, it still goes below the horizon. And they try to tell me, no, it's disappearing by, you know, just going too far for you to see. Which tells me they're not prepared to accept the evidence of their own senses. And so I'm not prepared to discuss with them any further. Oh, well. So, yeah, that's kind of a rabbit hole. Uh-oh, my screen went dark. Immigration, yes, yeah. Guns don't cause crime. Gun laws cause crime. Gun laws are a crime. Yeah, I approach these kind of arguments with the devil's advocate approach. All right. You're free to make a rule, regulation, standard, or guideline. And apply it to your stuff. You can get my stuff. But you don't have the right to enforce it. You can enforce the right to apply it to your stuff. But you don't have the right to apply it to my stuff. But most people don't understand that concept. And so when the city of New York or Chicago say, hey, you can't have any guns here. And these places have the highest crime rate in the world. And I wonder why. Well, because people can't defend themselves if they follow your rules. And it's a shame that these people have been cowed into following your rules. You know, if they hadn't, they'd have guns anyway. Lord knows the quote-unquote criminals get guns anyway. If they were interested in following the rules, they wouldn't be criminals in the first place. Now, as according to Uncle Sam's rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines, we're all criminals. We can't avoid it. No matter how hard we try to follow what he tells us to do, he has defined things in such a way that we can't understand what he's saying, and therefore have no way of possibly following his instructions. Are therefore criminals in his eyes. Anyway, so the subject at hand, guns don't cause crime. No, nope. Tools do not cause crimes. Land doesn't cause a crime. Gold doesn't cause crimes. Shoot. Gold is not the root of evil. Right. Read your scriptures carefully. He'll tell you what is the root of evil. Okay? You know, and when you read that, you got to ask the question, well, what is gold? All right? Gold is used for money. And what does it mean? Money is basically a promise. It's a promise that if I do labor for you, you'll give me this promise in the form of a physical substance that says that I can retrieve my time from you or from somebody else who also agrees that that physical item represents time. Right? So physical items do not cause sin, do not cause crime. It's the people who lay their hands on them. Right? So if you're dealing with somebody out there who has demonstrated that they can't behave, that they're ill-willed, that they're going to steal your house, take your life, not keep their promises, and even take the truth so as to cause you loss or harm, then you should do the minimum that's required to put those people out of your circle. And it might be as simple as, you know, putting them outside the camp and ignoring them. And it might be as drastic as actually taking their life. And by no means am I suggesting that taking their life would be for the sake of punishment. Their punishment is that you felt the need to keep them out of your life in the first place. And it's a judgment call. And while I think there's many problems with the King James Version of the Bible and many of its offspring, it still has enough in there that you can see some general guidelines for how to deal with these things. And I think you should pick those books up and use a lot of prayer and a lot of study and, you know, and get on it and figure out what it is that God would like you to do about these people. Right? After all, he loves them too. Cain was a murderer. He didn't do it.
So,
talking about Cain, I moved on to guns don't cause crime.
Guns don't cause crime. Gun laws cause crime.
Yep, that's pretty much what you're now to say. And basically, I was pointing out that tools do not cause crimes.
I'm sorry, what?
Tools do not cause crimes. And
right.
That's all
tools
guns
do not cause crime.
Yeah, that's all. That's all. I mean, you know, this is a tool. It doesn't cause crime. It doesn't even cause sin.
Right.
All right.
So if I run over somebody or somebody's animal with this vehicle, then I'm not liable because I didn't do it. The vehicle did because the vehicle caused the crime. So you can't be prosecuted for killing somebody with a gun because you didn't do it. The gun did it. The gun's the criminal, not you.
Yeah, and it's that kind of thinking that Uncle Sam's children have started taking property, even when the owner has not had any income whatsoever, because they determined that because somebody was smoking marijuana in your rental unit committed the crime.
Yeah, rental units cause crime.
Therefore, your rental unit needs to be confiscated so that now Uncle Sam or the state of California or Cedar County can now rent that same unit to the same people who were smoking in it before, and then the property can be responsible for the drugs that's going on there again.
Well, they're the drug dealers anyway, so it don't matter. But they won't do that. They'll just take it away from you and then sell it to somebody else and rinse and repeat.
Oh, yeah. Rinse and repeat. Yep. Most certainly. So. Yeah.
Yeah, you just breaking up or me?
I switched ears. Apparently, there's some sort of microphone in this cable. I don't know where they hid it, but I'm sure it hears every little scraping across the wire.
Okay.
There you go. Anyway, so that's why this earpiece works better. There is a switch. Is my voice louder right now?
Yes.
Is
it goes straight? Hang on, I'll be right back. Okay, never mind. He's got it.
Okay, so is my voice less loud right now?
It's crackling, but yes.
Okay, so the 9 microphone is. It's in the switch.
Okay. We're the worst podcasters ever, by the way.
Are we? I don't think so. I've heard worse, and they were making money.
Right.
We just don't know how to market ourselves. That's the problem.
Well, that's true, too. I'm working on that.
Yeah, we
so
just
yeah.
Need
we need what?
We need to learn how to market ourselves.
Right. And stay on topic.
Yeah, I tend to go down a lot of rabbit holes. But with your show notes, at least I can get back to the main subject. After I've wandered around a bit, you know. The last thing I was saying is, it's the people who commit crimes. It's the people who demonstrate that they're unwilling to behave, and they cause trouble and stuff for others.
Right. Well, yeah, it's just like that commercial says, the only thing that stops a good guy or a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
Pretty much, and it does boil down to, if you've got somebody who insists on causing, on stealing stuff and causing mayhem and trouble in your community, you do the least thing, they will put them out of your circle. And it might
what do you
be
mean
as
by
simple
the least?
As.
Well,
it might
okay.
be as simple as ignoring him.
Right. That's what I do typically.
And it might be as drastic as putting a bullet in his head.
Right.
All right. But you do the least thing. All right. It might just be a matter of just talking to him and finding out what his problem is. What's his belief system that's causing him to do that stupid stuff? And in doing so, you might gain yourself a brother or a sister.
Maybe.
Pretty slim chance, if they've already, demonstrated that they're going to be a problem. But, it could be as simple as they were never taught good hygiene as a kid. And so they scoop the soup out of the bowl with their bare hands that are still dirty, and they dump it back in the soup bowl when they find out that they don't like it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, you know, either one of those would stop me from eating the soup. Okay?
Sure.
And there's a few people around here who think I'm silly because I have those standards. All right? Well, okay, I can't straighten them out because they really do think I'm silly. And so in that aspect, I put them out of my life by I don't eat at their house. If we're having a potluck, I try to avoid eating things that they've eaten. And I try to avoid eating things that they brought.
Definitely the first. Well, actually both.
Yeah. And it depends. You know, some of these people are actually better behaved when they're at somebody else's house. So
Some
are not. You know.
Which means they know the error of their ways.
Yeah.
They just refuse to do it otherwise.
Yeah, otherwise they would behave.
Well, or, they would do it all the time or in other circumstances rather than that one.
At the very least, they're aware that some people are bothered by what they do.
Right.
And that's something else. You know, maybe I am silly for being concerned about all these germs and bugs and stuff like that. Maybe I'm silly because I don't want motor grease in my on my chicken. You know?
Oh, that's the good stuff.
Yeah, maybe I'm silly. But until somebody presents me with a convincing argument that I'm silly, I'm going to hold by that opinion. All right? Now, that's a bit of a rabbit hole. All right? You might have a rapist in your community. All right? And the immediate response to that is, you know, kill them. Get them off this planet. All right?
Right.
Well, my response to that is, you know, ostracize them. And, you know, make sure everybody in your community is well aware of this person's behavior and keeps...
Oh, but that's slander.
Well, have proof on hand. And this woman.
Defamation of character.
And they'll testify to it. And, you know, if he decides to take you through some foreign court because you defamed him, then you bring up proofs. And he will have eliminated himself in the process. Then again, you may have exposed three young women who lied. There's always a possibility. Oh, lost you. Well... go. Yeah. So do the minimum. And it might be, you know, in the case, oh, here he is, he's back. In the case of this rather extreme example of a rapist, you would warn those around. And if he leaves your community, you know, because of the nature of his crimes, you might attempt to follow him where he goes next and warn them. All right. Now, here in North America, Uncle Sam has set up a system where if you're a quote-unquote sex offender, you go on the list.
And yeah, but you don't got to have proof of that.
You should be able to sue them for defamation of character. You know.
Right, because all you have to do is be accused of it, and you're on the list. You don't actually
right.
have to be convicted.
Yep.
Or proven guilty.
And we know somebody personally. We won't mention names, but we know somebody personally who has ended up on the list. Heck, I had a supervisor who was on the list. And he was on the list because his wife was divorcing him. And it was a quick and easy way of getting her way in the divorce.
Right.
Because he couldn't go anywhere near the house anymore in order to make sure she wasn't stealing stuff.
Right. What would happen if it was the other way around? They would
probably would have laughed him out of court.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever happened to equal rights?
Yeah, I don't think humans have ever practiced that.
No.
Let me ask you now. Should I ask you the word on our podcast?
May you ask what?
bad joke. I'm reinstalling Ubuntu under the assumption that I screwed it up somehow, and that's why I couldn't get this piece of software to work.
Oh, okay. Well, the other Ubuntu is something we should be talking about, too.
Yeah, yep. Anyway, strangely enough, this rabbit hole down, guns don't cause crime. People cause crimes. And
right.
basically, if you have a criminal of any ilk, you do the minimum that would get them out of your hair and keep other people out, keep them out of other people's hair also. And
well,
it might be.
You can take the gun away from the criminal, and they'll just use a different weapon.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
or
I mean,
tool.
And if he's somebody who is perpetually raping people, you know, men, women, children, whatever, and getting them out of your community isn't going to stop them. You kind of have a
Maybe.
Responsibility. You kind of have a responsibility to put an end to them.
True.
You know.
They got to make sure they really, really did it, though.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You're right. And you know, better to let a guilty man free than to punish an innocent man?
Well, I don't know. That depends. If they were to punish me by death for something I didn't do, I'd be okay with that rather than being punished by jail, prison, or torture.
Right. That's something else I was getting to. The quote-unquote punishment shouldn't be a punishment. Just because you're executing somebody, yeah, they'll consider it a punishment themselves, but that shouldn't be your purpose. All right?
Right.
Not really your job. Your job is to take care of your fellow human beings. And if you've got somebody who's rendering it impossible to do that, then it's important to cut them off from their ability to harm others.
Right.
And, you know, it might be as simple as just putting the word out and ignoring them. You know, we know one of those. He initials DT. He scams people. You know, unfortunately, we can't stop him from scamming people short of, you know, taking his life. But, you know, he hasn't really done anything warranting taking his life away. You know, it's like walking through a nest of red ants. All right? Red ants serve their purpose. You know, you get bit a couple of times, stay away from that mound. So, anyway, yeah, we lost. So. He'll have to. Yeah, I know this is a sideline subject, but I'm kind of buggered by this. This computer that I'm setting up, you don't really want to have a password. But it doesn't give me the option to not have a password. Ah, he's back. Anyway. It's, you know, back to the guns not causing the crime. It's not the items, not the baseball bats, it's not the swords, it's not the knives.
Not the Bible.
It's not the Bible, not the Quran.
Right. Bibles cause crime.
Not even the beliefs, you know. Though the beliefs are closer to causing crime than a spoon is, or a gun, or a knife. All right.
Spoons cause obesity. Oh, wait, no, that's forks.
Right.
Spooning leads to forking.
Which leads to a different form of obesity.
Right.
You see, these are all actions. You know, people's behavior. It's the behavior. Actually, that's the crime, right?
Right, exactly.
So, you know, you can't even say the beliefs are the crime. Your beliefs will lead you to perform certain actions, and most people carry beliefs that cause them to be criminals, even though they think they're law-abiding citizens. In truth, they're eating their neighbors because they believe that socialism is a good thing, even though they don't like the word.
Right.
You know, they hate the word, but they carry out the action. Well, you're a hypocrite.
Well, you know. Yeah, never mind. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, people come up with weird, strange names for things because they don't want to call it what it is.
Right.
You know, they don't want to, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can jokingly call taxation theft. But anybody you say that to doesn't really believe it.
True.
You know, they don't like the tax. They want to avoid it desperately. Truth is, they know deep down in their hearts that forced taxation is theft. All right.
But they don't want to admit it.
Well, yeah, because they don't have any concept of voluntary taxation.
Well, that, and they also don't want, they don't want to admit that they're being victimized. They don't,
that,
they don't want to admit,
oh, yeah,
that they are the victims. And they don't want to admit that they don't have control. They don't have power.
Yeah, what they want to do is they want to blame you for making them a victim because you're not paying taxes.
Right.
You know, if you don't pay taxes, they'll go, oh, you're evil. You're sucking off of the system without paying in. You're driving on roads that my taxes paid for.
How dare you?
To which I say, well, if you don't want me driving on your roads, get out there and pull them off of my right of way.
Get them out of my way.
Get them out of my way. I kind of like the convenience of your roads, but if you really don't want me to use them, don't put them in my way.
Right. And the roads is actually not a... a good terminology because, you know, it's like most people get away with not paying. I mean, if they're not going to pay taxes, they're going to not pay income tax usually. But road tax is built into the fuel. Well, you can't drive unless you buy fuel, unless you create your own fuel. So if you buy fuel, you have to pay the road tax anyway. So you are paying into the...
It makes that a semi-voluntary tax. It's
right.
Still the wrong way to get it.
Yeah,
right?
Correct. Well, yeah,
because
you volunteer to either buy their fuel or buy the fuel through the system and pay the tax, or you have the opportunity to create your own fuel and bypass that system. But yeah, it would be voluntary if you look at it that way. But yeah, it's still not technically voluntary. It's still forced.
Yeah, it's semi-voluntary. All right, you
semi-voluntary.
Can't buy the product.
Right,
because
you still got options. So it's semi-voluntary because you still got options.
Right, but the poor guy trying to sell the fuel, he can't sell the fuel without paying the tax.
Right, that's not voluntary, that's force.
Mm-hmm. And that's wrong. Right? And I guarantee you, if they did not tax you in any way, shape, or form to put up the roads, there would still be roads.
Well, yeah.
Because Walmart, as tightwad as it is, would build roads just so customers would come to Walmart.
That's it.
They might even build some local streets around so that people would build houses on them because they know all those people would be dedicated Walmart customers because they'd all be within 3 blocks of the place. They'd all be able to walk there.
Well, yeah, and more people would love Walmart if Walmart was paying for the roads.
Right, you know, and we have a company, Barry Concepts. I'm sure they'd either relocate or they'd fund roads to get to the main thoroughfares from El Dorado Springs. All right, they'd do one or the other. They'd either relocate or they'd build a, you know, they'd build 54. All right, it'd be done. And why can I say this with such confidence that I guarantee that it would be done? Because it's been done in the past.
Past predicts future.
Past predicts future. As a matter of fact, I predict there'll probably be a time when there'll be some roads built by private individuals that the state will step in and try to take control of, and the individuals will get together en masse and exterminate that state. Because that has happened in the past.
Right.
Right.
Well, is it called Silk Road?
The Silk Road. Yep. Yep, the Silk Road. Longest road in history, both in distance and how long it existed. And there were states, there were countries that tried to charge a toll, and the reaction was one of two. They either went through and exterminated the rulers of that country, or they just rebuilt the road one or two countries over, denying access to that country.
They just moved it.
They just moved it. Again, whatever does the least harm.
Right.
You know. And as a result, it existed a long, long time. I'm not sure exactly at what point it stopped existing as a viable means of transportation, but it did exist for an awful long time, and it was free to travel it. And, you know, is basically open source.
Basically, the merchants funded it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure if you were going along and your cart tended to bump when you got to a certain place, when you got tired of it, you stopped and took a break, hired some locals. Said, go up in that mountain and bring back some gravel. I'm tired of this hole. Let's fill it.
Right.
You know. You know. Which effectively made it a toll road, but it was a voluntary toll.
True.
You know.
Well, yeah, it's like in this game that I'm playing, Mr. Legacy. The people create the roads. They go out and buy the materials, and they build and maintain. We build and maintain our own roads. So around our castle or fort or base, whatever you want to call it, we maintain the roads. In front of and around our location. For
makes
two
sense.
Reasons. You know, we want the road, and at the same time, the road directs traffic for people to come to our trade posts where people buy stuff.
Well, there
so
you go.
So we maintain it. And then when people die out and leave the game, you know, their buildings decay and fall apart, and so do their roads. And if somebody wants to keep the road there, then they keep the road there. The administrators only have pre-programmed a certain area where it may, you know, certain things in certain areas that are maintained or that's maintained basically, or that you don't have to worry. They don't worry about maintaining it. And then the rest, you know, we maintain. The entire game, most of the game is basically built on players maintaining the look and feel.
That makes sense. And you know what? If I was a developer of a game, I wouldn't even have certain roads. But let even them decay away.
Yeah, it's just in a section, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the borders to where you can't go outside of the border, that's permanent. You know, there's a permanent wall there, kind of like the parliament, or is it the parliament? Whatever it is on the flat earth. And, you know, where you can't go
the
outside
hub.
Of the...
The perimeter. The perimeter.
Yeah, the perimeter.
The
right. So you can't go no, outside the perimeter. There's a wall there.
I'm sorry. The hub's in the middle.
Yeah. What
the,
do the flat
the
earthers
rim.
Call the rim?
They call it Antarctica.
Is it the firmament, or is that the dome?
Confused. All right. They think the firmament is the air in between the ocean and space.
Oh, okay, never mind. I don't know,
yeah.
I'm not a flat earther, so. But anyway,
yeah.
So basically, the borders are maintained by, or you know, are set by the administrators, and then there's this one town or one section called the square, and that's permanent, and it's like a safe zone. But other than that, everything else is player maintained.
Hey, I tell you what. If there really is a dome over this planet, I'd be finding a hole through it, and I'd be walking on top of it.
Good luck with that.
You know?
You have to go through the Anunnaki before you can do that.
Yeah, but they can't exist unless we're on a globe.
How's that?
All the other planets would have to be within the dome.
Maybe, unless it's the Petri dish.
It's a Petri dish sitting on. So again, there wouldn't be any Anunnaki.
Well, the Anunnaki would be the scientists.
No, they'd have to be miniature creations by the scientists.
Right.
An ant and a grasshopper, a bunch of ants, or a spider and a grasshopper into a glass jar, and you try to see who outlasts who. So right now they got ants. They want some spiders. See how long before us ants eat them up.
So who are the puppet masters?
Seeing as I can't really give a good speculation as to the nature of this world, I can't even begin to speculate what the masters are. And it could be they're for the most part leaving us alone.
Right.
You know, just watching us. And so that'd mean that the puppet masters are us. Some of
us. Are
us?
Oh,
yeah.
Some of us.
Yeah. I mean, I forget who said this, but ever since I heard it, it makes a lot of sense. You can't. Unless the nation mostly tyrants already.
Well, yeah, you can't have puppet masters unless you have puppets.
Well, unless you have a bunch of puppet masters. Everybody wants to control everybody else.
Well, that's true. Everywhere you go, you got wannabe alpha males who want, or females who want to control, you know, people underneath them or people around them who they think that are underneath them. And then you got people above, you know, people that have more money and power than they do and they're doing the same thing on a higher level. Then you got people with more money and power than they do, and they're doing the same thing on a higher level, and so on and forth, so on and so forth.
Yep. And it's a big, atrocious waste of time,
energy.
Effort, and energy.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll never get along.
It's a choice.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I know. But some people try to get along, and other people don't want to.
Yep. It's purely a choice.
You hear people say, can't we all just get along? No, unfortunately.
Well, this is from some joker who wasn't making an effort to get along himself.
Well, maybe.
But then again, he wasn't doing it. You know. I forgot his name even.
You're talking about the one who brought up the thing?
The one who originally said that we quote all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
It was the Joker from the Joker and Batman.
Okay. Yeah,
just
no.
Kidding.
It was some quote-unquote black guy.
Right.
I don't even know what race he was, because, you know, we call people black guys all the time just because they're slightly brown.
Well, yeah, everybody thinks, well, not everybody. A lot of people think Obama was black, and he's not even black.
Yeah, well, you know, hey.
You know, it's like, oh, that nigger this, nigger that, or, yeah, we got a black president. It's like, what are you smoking? He ain't even black.
No,
I'm blacker than him.
He wasn't even born in Hawaii.
Right.
So.
He may look it, but he ain't.
Well, he put out that photoshopped file of his birth certificate.
Right.
And didn't even bother to have the image collapse down. So they were able to get onto the different elements that were put together to make his to make that thing. It's like, I mean, if he took a picture of his birth certificate, it would not have had loose elements.
What do you mean by loose elements?
All right, I have this program GIMP, and I can bring all sorts of pictures together, and I can put them in different layers. And I can hide one layer or another layer so that not all the elements are showing. All right? And I can save it in a file format that keeps all those elements separate. All right? Well, that's the kind of file that he released to the public.
Right.
He didn't finish it.
He
didn't send the finished product. He sent the construction file.
Right, the blueprint.
Well, yeah, it's not exactly a blueprint, but I mean, if you just look at it and don't analyze it, it looks like a picture of a birth certificate. But if you run it through Photoshop, it shows you, oh, it has this layer and this layer and this layer and this layer, and
exactly,
you know, the signature was overlaid over a background image you know, the text was overlaid over blank spaces, and, you know, it was all, you know,
fake.
It was all
digitally
easily
edited.
Deconstructed.
Oh, yeah.
Had he actually printed it out and made a JPEG or a bitmap or whatever of it,
it wouldn't have been able to do that.
It was very good. They might not have been able to discern that it was a fake.
Right.
But it was too obvious. What can I say? Oh, well. Birth certificates don't cause crimes.
Yeah, they do.
Birth certificate users cause crimes.
Yeah. Photoshop actually causes crime.
Actually, for the most part, birth certificate users are criminals.
True that.
What?
Well, how else are you going to record your astrology?
Family Bible.
Family Bible.
Yep. That's how most people documented their stuff before Uncle Sam took over and all the world governments took over on that stuff. They allowed the family to keep track of all that stuff.
Right. That was how people kept track of their lineage and stuff like that.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, but you're not trusted or reliable enough to keep track of that information.
And they're even less trustworthy and reliable. And they use the information for inappropriate purposes.
True that.
So.
So what?
They need to stay out of my face.
They need to get off my spaceship.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. They need to get out of my space armada.
Armada?
Mm-hmm. I have a whole group of spaceships in my armada.
Oh, gotcha.
They spread from one end of the universe to the other, and they need to get off of them. Go find their own universe to play with.
They already have.
Not mine. They need to leave mine alone.
They were here first.
Doesn't matter. They lost their claim when they started using it inappropriately. When they started abusing
True.
The other residents.
True. They're in violation of their oath. But we're not supposed to swear oaths.
Well, there you go. Right off the top of the bat. They swore an oath and they broke it. And they weren't even supposed to swear an oath in the first place.
So, if you break a law that is breaking the law, does that mean you're breaking the law?
Only if you're trying to obey that law. For the sake of the law.
Right.
If you were obeying that law for the sake of avoiding the criminals behind the law, well, that's one of those doing the least.
Don't steal. The government hates competition.
Yep. This is true. There is that.
All right, what's the next topic? Or the topic before that?
Installation complete. Restart now.
I don't recall that being on the list.
You know, it's okay. Yeah, I think this Aspire that you gave me to play with has issues with heat.
With what?
It has issues with heat. If it gets too hot, it locks up.
And
it gets too hot easily. So.
So throw it out the window, the second story window.
Maybe.
So what's the topic before? What I miss? Did you read the disclaimer?
Actually, no, I didn't. Do you want to do that this week? I take that as a no.
I'm ill-prepared.
You're ill-prepared. Yeah, me too at the moment. But I'll see if I can.
It's on our website. You can read the disclaimer on the website.
Well, yes. Yes, people can read the disclaimer on the website.
Provided you can read.
But
if not, I have a link to an audio that'll read it for you. What?
It'd be good for us to at least make this very basic disclaimer that covers everybody. All right? Think for yourself.
Yes. Do your own homework.
Do your own homework. All right? Consider us as one of your study aids, not a source of knowledge. Not your knowledge source.
We are a reference.
Yeah,
we're a reference book.
We're a reference of possibilities. We may or may not be right. You know,
I'm always right.
And I would suggest that you treat the Bible that very way. You know? It's look at it and get what wisdom you can out of it. And, you know, the Muslims say Christ was only a wise man.
That's blasphemy.
A lot of Christians say that. And yet those very same Christians do not follow in any way, shape, or form the things written down by, you know, about and by Christ. Which, by the way, in their books, they don't have any written writings by Christ. And they don't bother to seek them out because they don't believe they exist.
Right.
So, at least I've been trying to seek them out. You know, supposedly the
Well,
Buddhists.
Maybe they don't exist because he don't exist.
This is a possibility, but there does seem to be a preponderance of historical evidence. But having not been there,
we don't have first-hand knowledge.
We do not have first-hand knowledge, so I cannot declare emphatically that yes, indeed, he was there. I can only say that. There's lots of evidence that he existed.
Sure. It's not exactly hearsay evidence. There is evidence.
Yeah, it's written down stuff. And, you know, for me, it's hearsay. Honestly, it's hearsay. You know, everything I see in the Bible is hearsay. Somebody else said it. You know, I can say, yes, it's in this book. I can point at it and provide it as evidence. But it's hearsay for you, too.
Right.
Because you weren't there. You don't know for sure that what was written down was indeed true and accurate. Indeed, there's some things written in the Bible that, from a logical standpoint, well, either God didn't say it or God's an idiot. And I opt for God didn't say it.
That's blasphemy.
there's certain rituals that the Hebrews were called to do so that their descendants would remember a certain event. At best, all they can do is remember that their forefathers said to remember this thing. They can't remember the event itself because they weren't there. You can't remember a thing that you did not yourself observe.
Right. So just like that, this podcast is all hearsay evidence.
Yep.
You should always go and do your own homework.
Yep. And you know, despite the fact that I said that certain individuals should leave my universe, that's something you too need to make a decision on your own. Don't do it because I said do it.
Right. If you want to harbor criminals, that's your business.
Yeah. You have a right. Yes, now, setting up live patch caused me troubles. I'm not going to do that. Let's see. Sure, let him send me that. And vice versa. Okay.
Just remember that that's aiding and abetting.
That's true. Some people consider that a crime.
Well, if you're aiding and abetting a crime, then that would possibly be a crime. You know, it's like a crime is causing harm to somebody. If you're assisting in someone causing harm to somebody, then wouldn't you be causing harm to somebody as well?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yep, yep, yep. I'm falling asleep.
If you help a criminal commit a crime, you're a criminal also.
There you go.
And your help could be as simple as just standing back and saying nothing.
Right.
You know?
Well, they rape, pillage, and plunder.
Yeah. And you might correctly say, well, I'm just a little guy. They would kill me if I said anything. All right. Well, this may be true. You may be under duress, and the duress may be too much for you. So.
What about the guy who says, well, I'm just doing my job?
Well, that joker. Not under duress. He had the ability to quit.
Right.
So. Yep. Well, if you're falling asleep and we're almost at the hour and a half mark.
All right, man and other animals.
Right. You should look that up. The phrase to look for is man or other animals.
You can look up either one.
Well, yeah. If you look up man and other animals, you'll end up getting some state laws for various states, which is good. You know, look that up. Because it's important to know if your state considers you to be an animal or not. That phrase sounds pretty innocent. But consider this. Rocks, boulders, and other cars
And unless somebody made a branded car called a rock or a boulder, that's a ludicrous statement. Because rocks and cars are not, rocks and boulders are not cars. Right? If you're a Bible thumping Christian or a Bible thumping Jew,
or a Bible thumping, or not Bible thumping, a Quran thumping Muslim.
Possibly, I don't know enough. The Quran might define us as animals. But
no, I don't think they believe we're animals.
In the Old Testament, man is given dominion over the animals. He is not given dominion over his fellow man.
Oh, okay, okay.
We
have to
rule over our fellow man.
Right.
Right, but we are, by scriptures, to, you know, rule over the animals.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the Quran says about that.
Right. And as such, we are defined as not being animals because we're not to be treated as animals. Right? Yeah, I don't know what the Quran says about it. It may say the same thing. Probably does.
It's similar, but not the same.
Yeah. Then again, they're so busy now trying to make everybody else submit.
So busy trying to what?
They're so busy trying to make everybody else submit. That,
right.
And maybe theirs doesn't say that. Maybe it defines
yeah,
us as not
know.
Being animals, but it's still okay to rule over us.
Right. We are lesser.
Right.
But a lot of, well, I don't know about a lot of religions, but a lot of groups teach that. I don't know if their religions teach that, but a lot of groups teach that. You know, certain other groups are lesser life forms, if you will, and therefore they need to be treated as such. And most of that is politically driven because united we stand, divided we fall. So if we're busy worrying about and tearing down each other, then the government has the opportunity to pretty much do whatever they want because we're busy ignoring them when they're supposed to be our servants and we're busy fighting amongst ourselves. We need to be working together and making sure that they're under control. You know, as well as, you know, we got to police ourselves, otherwise it gives the government an excuse to police us for us. But, because they'll look for any excuse, but or make an excuse. Never let a good crisis go to waste if you got to create it or not. But, you know, we should be policing them and each other, not allowing them to police us.
Right. If anything, we should be policing them.
Primarily speaking, yeah.
And lately, I've been talking to my friends about how to promote this concept. I think I've discussed it with you. I should discuss it here. All right. There's a gentleman, Brother Gregory. He has a certain belief on how the church is supposed to be constructed. I believe his definition of the church is pretty spot on. All right. The church, Christian or otherwise, you know, I'll use Christian just because it's easier for me to come up with examples to explain it, right? It is not supposed to be about singing hymns, reading a good book, and getting up and sitting down and handling the ear tickler lots of money so he can be comfortable in his little house.
Right, drive his fancy car.
Right. Okay.
That's not the purpose of the church. Okay? But I don't care what religion, Buddhist, Christian, Jew, Muslim, Sikhs.
Who?
Oh,
the churches are subgenius. What about them?
Well, okay, we can leave them out because they're specifically about that.
Oh, okay.
Strangely, they perform a good service for mankind in their efforts.
Right.
Well, you know.
Says you. That's your evidence.
They provide entertainment value to an extreme.
Right.
Anyway.
So, the church
The church is supposed to be a community of people who take care of each other.
Right.
And that community is not supposed to be enemies with the next community over.
Right.
All right. So you might be Baptist, and you may not agree 100% with, and for the life of me, I can't think of another good name, but I'll say
Nazarene, Wesleyan.
Okay, okay.
Protestant,
yeah.
Or not Protestant.
You might not agree with the Nazarene, all right? You most certainly don't agree with the Muslims, you know, but that's not supposed to be.
Or the Presbyterians.
Yeah.
Or the Mormons.
That's not really supposed to be the concern, all right? Because they have a disagreement over, you know, what color God's left eye is not a good basis for hating the next group. As a matter of fact, you're not.
Unless you're arguing over the third eye.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be maintaining those kind of disagreements.
Right.
So.
The church's job is to take care of the widows and the orphans and the less fortunate.
Right. And
we're not
the community.
Supposed to be contracting that out to Uncle Sam.
No. Nope. You're not supposed to outsource your faith, hope, and charity. Because when you outsource your faith, hope, and charity, you create the Corban that Christ said that he was against.
Right.
He said, you know, you're supposed to practice a Corban that follows God's laws. And Christ told us that the Corban of Herod rendered God's word to no effect. Well, what was Herod's Corban? Herod had set up the exact same system that we now call Social Security.
That's blasphemy.
Yes, Jesus is blasphemous, and that's why they hung him on a cross.
No, I mean Social Security is blasphemy.
Oh, well, can't be. Everybody believes it to be true.
Right.
I mean, what the majority believes must be true, right?
Sure. That's what the majority says. Majority rule.
Right.
Everybody's in agreement to that as long as they're in a majority, but when they're not in a majority, they don't agree with that anymore.
Yeah. Which freaks some people out when I tell them, well, you know, you have the right to fire any elected official at any time. He no longer works for you. And I fired them all a long time ago, and I've never hired one since. Now, I would like to hire an individual, but until I find an individual that I can trust to do the job to my standard, I'm acting as my own Levite. I've hired myself.
That's illegal.
It probably is. It's not strictly speaking following with the instructions given.
It may be lawful, but it's not legal.
Well, it may not be lawful.
What?
It may not be lawful to do it that way. It may be a violation of the natural law. Brother Gregory would most certainly say it is.
Right. Ask the goats and the cats, they'll tell you.
Well, that's true. I don't see too many goats or cats assigning somebody to be their Levite.
Right.
Unless it's me.
The cats, maybe. Goats and the pigs, they don't have a choice.
They sort of do. Well, actually, Piglet has elected to not have me be their Levite. She
right.
won't go back when I need her to. And so she's been given no choice. And by that respect, actually, the goats do not have a choice. Because if they ever exercised their right to not have me as their Levite, I would go to great efforts to find them and would never let them out again.
Right. So in a sense, we are Uncle Sam.
Concerning the animals.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So,
and part of that is for their protection and part of it is for our profit or our gain.
Well, it is a two-way street, actually, and that's something Brother Gregory pointed out. All right, somebody tried to suggest that it was horrible that he had enslaved these sheep and gave them no choice. And he points out that, well, yeah, we take their wool, and we eat some of their young, and, you know, occasionally cage them up and do things that they don't generally like. But overall, if it weren't for us, they would not survive.
Right.
And if it weren't for them, we wouldn't survive. So it's a
true
two-way street.
Symbiotic relationship.
It is a symbiotic relationship. And so instead of the entire herd being decimated by predators, they have a predator who does
the protecting.
Selective predation.
Right. Now, the cats, on the other hand, the ones that stay have elected us their Levites.
Yeah.
They have freedom of choice to come stay or leave and do whatever the hell they want to do.
And for some of them, that appears to have worked out great. And for some of them, it appears to have been to their detriment.
Yep.
So.
It's a mixed bag.
It is. So the cats would probably be the best example.
Yeah, best example of
of nature's law in that respect. Different animals can be looked at differently for different rulings upon nature's law to see how things go or how things should go, because that's nature. If you want to know how nature works, look at nature.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I'm all a mess here.
Trying to get situated, and I'm all cluster.
You gonna let you sleep tonight?
Probably not. They'll wait till I go home, and then they'll dispatch me.
Why would they do something so mean?
I don't think they do it on purpose. I think one of them is just an idiot.
Yeah.
And that's why he does it. Four. Yep. That's it. Yeah, we had to sit for 4 hours waiting on a tire repair.
Did you get paid for it?
Yeah, $17 an hour.
Oh, boy.
So I got paid $17 an hour to play Mysterio Legacy. But not for 4 hours. Part of that I was messing with the truck. Part of that I was looking for the proper people to take care of the problem. And then I was actually... the mechanic that didn't fix the tire, the one that called the tire people out, I had a chit-chat with him for a little while. Told him about the farm, told him about our project, taught him a little bit about foraging and surviving and, you know, off the land and whatnot. He thought that was really cool. And yep. He knows where Stockton is, and he plans to come... I gave him our website. I didn't have any cards on me, but I gave him our website, and he plans to come check us out someday.
So you're sending lots of stalkers my way.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's not necessarily a stalker, but he's kind of weird like us, but...
Yeah, so you're sending stalkers my way.
Yeah.
Bunch of weirdos.
Yep, yep.
Trying to see the weird hippie freaks in the middle of redneck country.
Birds of a feather flock together. All right. Oh. All right. You ready to conclude the podcast?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So this concludes the Scrap Gov Scrap podcast. You can catch us every Sunday at 7 p.m. or after church, whichever comes first.
About 7:15 this evening, because I waited to see if you were going to call in. I was there. If you'd called in, I would have started the podcast. I mean, you know, I'm not talking about Kano. I'm talking about you, the listener. If you'd called in, I would have started the podcast as soon as you called in. I would have said, hold on a second, let me start the recording. And then I would have announced the show, and we could have had a nice discussion right there. And you would have been the main subject generator.
Yes, please call in and, you know, pick topics for us to talk about because, you know, one, we don't know everything, and two, we don't know everything to talk about. So, you know, we encourage people to call in and give us topics and, you know, cross-analyze the topics with us. You know, we're always interested.
If I'm a complete idiot, feel free to call in and tell me so and explain in detail why I'm an idiot. Try to do it in polite terms, though.
Well, constructively, yes, please. Por favor. Because if you're a total ass, we're going to basically bump you off the podcast.
Yeah, if you're a complete ass, I won't be able to reason with you. And
yeah. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, we love callers. We had a caller a couple weeks ago that we didn't necessarily agree with, but we had a really good conversation.
Yeah.
And we pretty much let him run the show. We just asked him a whole bunch of questions and cross-analyzed what he had to say. On our other podcast, our Demented Dungeons and Dragons podcast, which we do on Saturdays, we had a flat earther call in at one time, and he had a whole bunch to say about that. And we didn't argue with him. We don't believe in flat earth. But at the same time, we just asked a lot of questions and cross-analyzed, you know, the answers. And that's basically what we like to do. So feel free to call in and talk with us, cross-analyze with us, and give the listeners a fresh outlook, if you will.
Yep. Yep.
So again, Saturday night at 9 p.m. for the Demented Dungeons and Dragons podcast, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons. We really don't talk about Dungeons and Dragons too much. And Sunday night is the Scrap podcast, where we talk about the increase in the size, the cost, the extent of the reach, and the power of a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government. And you can find the phone number, the call-in phone number, at those websites. And like I said, we look forward to hearing from you. Okay, that's it. Bye.
Bye. Good night, folks.